This week said is Parashas Yitro. The last time I started, I said Yitro. I'm going to be moving from Yitro to Yitro, and forgive me, I don't know what it is that comes over me. It's the same one. Don't be frightened off by all of the Sforum that you see over here. The more Sforum I have, it means the more confused I am, and the more difficulty I'm going to have with the Shir. When one comes to Parshas Yisro, the first thing that one thinks about is the greatest moment in Jewish and world history, God descending upon the mountain. And he speaks to his people. The Ten Commandments are Nochi Hashem Elokecha. But I'm not going to deal with that. We usually overlook the very beginning of the Seder, and I want to study the beginning of the Seder, because there's a great deal that is being said here that is terribly important. And what I want to do is we have to read a little bit, as we usually do, some Chumash and the Rashi, and I will comment as we go along. Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosei Moshe. Yisro, the Kohen of Midyan. Kohen does not necessarily mean priest of a religious sort. The word Kohen, Rashi pointed out earlier in Bereshit, Kohen can mean somebody of importance, significance, doesn't necessarily have to mean one who is a priest in any particular religion. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chosei Moshe, the father of Moshe, at Kol Asher Osa Elokim LeMoshe LeYisrael Amo, he heard all that God had done for Moshe and for his people Israel. Ki Hotzi Hashem Et Yisrael MiMitzrayim, that God had taken the Jewish people out of Egypt. Vayishma Yitro, the first pasuk, there is a famous Rashi that we're going to have to deal with. But we're just going to point out, as we go through for the first time, I just want to point out some of the areas that we're going to have to deal with. Vayishma Yitro, Yitro heard, says Rashi, Ma Shmua Shama Uba, what was it that he heard? And for that reason he came. What did he hear? And says Rashi, Kriyat Yamsuf Umilchanat Amalek. He heard about the splitting of the Red Sea and the war with Amalek. The difficulty in the Rashi is obvious. Why does Rashi ask the question, what did he hear? The Pasuk told us what he heard. Vayishma Yitro, Yitro heard all that God had done for Israel and for Moshe, that he had taken the Jewish people out of Egypt. Doesn't it say clearly in the Pasuk exactly why Yitro came? So why does Rashi ask, Mashmua Shama Ubo, what was it that he heard and he came? And Rashi says, Kriyat Yamsuf and Mulchamad Amalek, the splitting of the Red Sea and the Amalek. What's Rashi getting? By the way, Rashi is a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Masechet Zvachim. And the fact is that the Gemara in Masechet Zvachim has three opinions. One opinion is, yes, Kriyat Yamsuf. The other is Milchemet Amalek, and there's a third opinion that he heard about Matan Torah, the Torah was given. Which of course brings us into a different machloket. When did Yitro come to the desert? Did Yitro come Kodam Matan Torah, before Torah is given? Or did Yitro come after Matan Torah? I don't know if we're going to have time yet to discuss that major issue. In other words, it means, does Parshat Yitro follow in chronological order, or is the Parsha really topsy-turvy, whatever we have in the first half of the Seder that talks about Yisro's coming to the desert, really took place after Torah was given? Big Ramban, oh, wait, we're not going to deal with that yet. That's not a telephone, that's a real phone? Oh, okay. Yitro says Rashi, Sheva Shemot Nikru'ulo. Yitro had seven names: Reuel, Yeter, Yitro, Chovav, Chever, Keni, Putiel. Seven names the man had. The names, of course, represent the names that he was called, and we're not talking about pejorative names, you know, people called him names. In a sense, the names that he has represents the stages that he goes through in life. And he is somebody who is in the process of taking a major step. He's leaving the prominence, the power of Midian, and he's going out to the desert to join a slave people newly freed. He's going through a tremendous process, and his names reflect the process. Rashi gives the reasons for three of his names. He was called Yeter, al shem she yotar parsha achab batorah. Yeter means to add, because he added a parsha in Torah. Rashi says, va'ato techeze. By the way, there's a beautiful, I think it's a chassidish avot, or the Welt says it, you know, there are certain things that the world says, nobody really knows who it is. He's called Yeter because he added a parsha to Torah. What parsha? The parsha of Va'ato Techezeh. What does Va'ato Techezeh mean? If you want to, you can take a look. In this same chapter, yes, chapter 18, Yudchet Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Yisro is not just another father-in-law coming to visit his son-in-law. He gets involved. He gets involved. Aren't fathers-in-law supposed to get involved? Oh, no, that's mothers-in-law are supposed to get involved. Fathers-in-law are just supposed to sit there and, you know, just quiet, sit back and do nothing. Yisro is not so. Yisro sees that his son-in-law is judging the people. People are lining up a whole day waiting to ask questions of Moshe. So Yisro says, it's not good. What you're doing is not good. You simply won't be able to survive. You and the people, you're all going to fall apart. It's an impossible situation. You have to set up a judiciary. You have to have judges. And Pasuk Chaf Aleph is the advice that he gives him. V'ahato techezeh, you should see to choose mikol ha'am, from amongst the people, those who will assist you, those who will serve as judges. So Rashi said over here, he was called Yeter, because he added a parsha in Torah. What parsha did he add to Torah? So Rashi said he added the parsha of Va'ato Techezeh. You should find people who will help you. So Chassidim asked, I think it's Chassidim who asked, but wait a minute. The parsha that Yisro added to the Torah doesn't begin with Pasuk 21. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, you know where it begins? It begins in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayomer Chotei Moshe Elav. Moshe's father-in-law said to him, Lo tov hadover asher ato'osa. What you're doing is not good. You're going to fall apart. You won't be able to carry it. So that's where the parsha that he adds begins. Why does Rashi say that he was called Yeter? Because he added a parsha in Torah. And what is the parsha? Ato techezeh. So Gutta Yidin say, this is a famous word. Gutta Yidin say, listen, everybody is capable of saying Lo tov. Everybody is capable of saying it's not good. Everybody is capable of criticizing. So you know what the real genius of Yisro is? Not the Lo Tov, but the V'yato Techezeh. When his criticism becomes positive, when he is able to come up with the idea, what he's not merely criticizing, he's not merely finding fault, but what he is doing is he's being constructive. That, Rashi says, is what he adds to Torah. His addition to Torah is not the criticism, but the constructive advice. Therefore, the parsha that he added is Va'ato Techezeh. All right, that was just so. Yitro, Rashi goes on to say that he was called Yitro Likishinid Gayer, the Kiyem HaMitzvot, after he converted, and he fulfilled the mitzvahs, Osifulo Achat Al Shemo, another letter was added to his name. So Yeter became Yitro. Chovav, he was also called Chovav Shechivei Vesatorah, because he loved Torah. The Chovav, who Yitro? How do we know that Chovav and Yitro are the same person? Shenema, Pasuk says, Mi b'nei Chovav. This is a Pasuk in Tanakh where it says that the sons of Chovav, who was the father-in-law of Moshe. Another Pshat Rashi says that Reuel really was not Yitro, but was his father. But when the girls came running back and they to their father Reuel, the pasuk said in Parshat Shemot. So says because children call their Zayde, they call him Abba too. A Saba can be called an Abba. He's an Abba Rabba, a Saba Rabba. All right. Let's go further in the Pesuk. And we're going to get back, and yes, I'm going to get back to Pasuk Aleph. Vayikach Yitro choten Moshe tzipora eshet Moshe achar shilucheho. Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, took Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, achar shilucheho, after he had sent her away. What does it mean, after he had sent her away? There is of course a pshat that says that he divorced her. There is a pshat in the Mechilta that says he divorced her. It says over here shilucheha, and it says when a woman does not find favor in a man's house, the shilchami beitar v'chatav la seifa ktitut, he should write a get. The shilchami beitar sent her from his home. By get it says to send away, and here also it says send away. That's one opinion. By the way, it may very well be that the reason why he gives her a get is because he's going off into Mitzrayim, and who knows what his fate is going to be. We're not talking about some kind of a breakdown of the relationship between Moshe and Tzipora. I would say that it's something similar to the idea that Kol Hayotzei L'Milchemet Beit David, whoever went out to the war of the house of David, wrote a get to his wife so that a woman never should be left without not knowing who knows what's going to happen to Moshe when he is in Mitzrayim. Who knows whether she'll ever see him again? Who knows whether she will lose contact with him? There are other mafashim that say shilucheha means that he had sent her gifts, and afterwards she came out shiluchin, like mishloach manot, Mishloach manot, he had sent her gifts. No, Moshe had sent her gifts. Rashi brings the one of the two versions of why Tzipora did not finally come to Mitzrayim with Moshe. In Parashat Shemot it had said that he took his wife and his children on the donkey and he went on his way to Mitzrayim. But she never ends up in Mitzrayim. We don't hear of her anymore. It's only now that we find out, only now are we told, that she remained in Midian. Achashilucheho really means after he sent her away. So Rashi brings one medrash. The medrash that Rashi brings says the following. Kishoramalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Midian, when God said to Moshe in Midian, Leich, Shuv, Mitzrayim, go back to Egypt. Vayikach Moshe et Ishto et Bonov. So it said that Moshe took his wife and his children. Vayetze Aaron likrato, and Aaron went out toward him in order to meet him. Vayivgosheu b'har elokim, and he met him at the mountain of God. Omalo, Aaron said to Moshe, Mi heim halalu, who are these? Omalo, so Moshe told him, Zuhi ishti shenasati b'midyan, this is the wife that I married in Midian, Ve'elu Bonai, and here are my children. V'amalo, so Aaron innocently says to him, Ve'echon atom olichon, where are you taking them? V'amalo, so he told him, I'm taking them in the Mitzrayim, I'm on my way to Egypt and I'm taking them. V'amalo, so Aaron told him, Al harishonim anu mitztachim, we are in pain about the Jews that are already there. V'ato bo lehosef aleim, so you're going to bring more Jews into Mitzrayim. Amala, so Moshe said to her, Lechim Beit Avich, go to your father's house, not lo shnei boneha. She took her two children, Vaholchala, and she went. Which means, of course, that Moshe had planned on taking her with him to Mitzrayim. It's only because of Aaron that he sends her back. You know, because he does not want her to be added to the list of Jews that are enslaved. There is another medrash where the medrash says the following, that Moshe went back home. Let me just find that medrash. Oh, yeah. After the snare, after that great vision at the, of the burning bush, it says, Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went and he returned to his father-in-law. Vayelech Moshe, says the medrash, Lehechon Holach, where did he go? Shaholach Litol Ishto Ugonav. He went after the snare, he went home to pick up his wife and children. Amalei Yisro. Yisro said to him, Lehechon Atom Olichon, where are you taking them? Amalei, so he told him, I'm taking them to Mitzrayim. Amalei, so Yisro, father-in-law, says to his son-in-law, O Tom Shehem b'Mitzrayim evakshim latzeit, those who are in Mitzrayim want out. Va'at Molichon, and you're taking them there? So here it's not Aaron, here it is Yitro saying it. Amalei, and this is important. In this medrash, there's an important addition. Amalei, so Moshe said to him, L'mochar hein atidim latzeit. Tomorrow, in the future, Jews are going out of Mitzrayim. V'lamod al har Sinai, and they're going to stand at Sinai, l'shmoa mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to hear from the mouth of God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Im Kad Yokad. U'bonai lo yishmu'u k'mo heim. My children shouldn't be there to hear together with all of Israel. I mean, obviously, this medrash is, of course, a problem according to those who hold that Yitro came after Matan Torah. Does it mean that Moshe's children were not present at Mount Sinai? What does he say over here? Miyad vayomi Yitro lo Moshe. Yitro said to Moshe, Lech l'shalom, go in peace. Don't worry. What he's really telling him is, you don't worry. I'll make certain that your family is going to be at Har Sinai. Which of course means that the Sedra, according to this Medrash, fits in very well. And there's something else that I like about this Medrash. Moshe, I would assume that Moshe believes that God is taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. When he I'm surprised when he doesn't respond to Aaron. Aaron says, we're in pain about the ones who already came, and now you're taking more Jews to Mitzrayim? Why didn't Moshe simply tell him, listen, I have perfect faith, I'm imam in Bemuna Shlema, that we're going out, what are you talking about? It troubles me about that medrash. In this medrash of Moshe and Yitro, so he does tell his father-in-law, Shver Tayyida, L'machar hein atid l'atzeit, they're going out! And they're going to come to Sinai. My children shouldn't be at Sinai camping. According to this medrash, obviously, Yitro is now carrying out precisely what he promised. Vayikach Yitro chotein Moshe et Tzipora eshet Moshe achar shilucheha. Yitro took, the father-in-law of Moshe took Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, achar shilucheha, after Moshe had sent her back. Really, the real meaning of the pasuk is we have to be told that she was sent back. We didn't know that. We weren't told that in Shemot. We weren't told a thing about it. It's only now that we find that out. Parenthetic comment, but I feel it has to be made. In many places in Chumash, when I say many, you know, I mean about at least 6, 7, maybe more. Rashi makes a comment when you have a word vayikach. For example, God tells Moshe, Kachet Aaron, take your brother Aaron and appoint him as a Kohen Gadol, the one who's to serve me. God tells Moshe, Kach et ha-Levim, take the Levim and make them those who will serve in the Mishkan. Rashi usually comments, Kochehu bidvodim, take him with words. Tell Aaron, Ashrecha, Ashrecha, how fortunate you are that you're going to be the one to serve God. Or tell the Levim, what a great schus it is that you're the ones who are going to be the servants of God in the Migdash. And the reason for this is, why is this comment made by Rashi? So the Maharali Prak says, and I'm going to show it to you in a Rashi, you don't take human beings. Human beings have free will. They're not objects. A human being is a gavra, not a chetza, to use brisket terminology. Not an object. Here it says, Vayikach Yitro. What does Vayikach Yitro mean? Is he telling Tzipora, listen, you've got to join your husband? Is Tzipora coming out to the desert as an act of her own free will? All right. So let me tell you there is a landmark Rashi. Landmark Rashi that I want to read to you. The only reason why I consider it a landmark Rashi, first of all, every Rashi is. But more than that, this is one that sometimes you just forget a Rashi and you get very upset. Here was a Rashi that I forgot, and I was very upset with myself that I forgot it, so I highlighted it and underlined it in my Chumash. I'll tell you the pasuk. It says the Jewish, the brothers are going down to Mitzrayim for the second time. This is in Parshat Miketz. So it says, Vayikru ha'anoshim et ha'mincha hazot, the people, the ten brothers, the tribes, they took the gift, u'mishne kesef lakru biyadam, and they took a second amount of money, because they were going to return the first money with which they had purchased grain had to be returned. There's Binyamin and Binyamin. They took the gifts, the money, and Binyamin. Says Rashi the following. Mitargaminon, the Targum says, and Targum, here is a classic example where Targum Unkel is so necessary, and I'm going to show it to you. The Targum says, Udevaru Yad Binyamin. Udevaru, that's the word, Udevaru. They took Binyamin. By the way, in the Pasuk it doesn't say the verb to take by the name of Binyamin. The Pasuk says, Vayikru ha'anoshim, the people took the mincha, u'mishne ha'kesef lakru, for a second time it says, and they took the money biyadam, ve'et Binyamin, and Binyamin. The Targum inserts, and they took Binyamin. But the Targum, Rashi points out that the Targum throughout Chumash has two translations for the word Vayikach or Kach. One is Udevaru, and one is Unisiv, with a samach, Unisiv. Says Rashi, Mitargamin, and over here by Binyamin, the Targum says Udevaru Yad Binyamin, Lefi She'en L'kichat HaKesef, U'L'kichat HaAdam Shaveh, B'Loshen Arami. Taking an object and taking a human being, you don't use the same word in Aramaic. In Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, you use the same word. But it's not the same word in Aramaic. A different word for taking an object and a different word for taking a person. B'dovar ha'nikach b'yad, something that is taken in one's hand, an object, mitargimina, the Targum says, unisiv. B'dovar ha'nikach b'hanhogaz devarim, and something that you take by virtue of speaking, words, persuasion. There the Targum says, Udevar. Incidentally, the Aramaic Udevar obviously comes from the word Davar, through words. You don't take human beings. You can try to influence them. You can try to persuade them. Here the Targum says, on Pasuk Bet, the Targum says, Udevar Yitro Chamuhi. Yitro did not take Tzipora as though she is nothing more than an object. He spoke to her, which means, of course, that Tzipora is coming out to the desert of her own free will. She chooses to come. And this is all terribly important, because what's really taking place in this parsha, and it's there, not only beneath the surface, it's there. Yitro and his family are coming out to the desert in order to convert.
The fact is, on that first Rashi, Rashi says, Mashmu Ashama Ubo, what was it that Yitro heard and he came? And Rashi answered that he heard Mulchama, Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, and Mulchamat Amalek, the war with Amalek. The Gemara says, Mashmu Ashama Ubo Vidgayer. What was it that he heard that compelled him to come out to the desert in order to convert? There's a process of conversion that's taking place over here. In a sense, I believe that what Yitro is doing is really the process that is that Klal Yisrael is going to undergo in this parsha before Torah is given. They have already undergone circumcision in Mitzrayim. They're going to go to the mikveh. They're going to wash themselves before Maimed Har Sinai. They are going through a process of conversion. A process of conversion is something that one must do as out of their own free will. Let's go a little further and I'll point out some more of the aspects over here. Veshnei Baneha and her two sons, Ashishem Ve'echad Gershom. One's name was Gershom Kiyama because Moshe had said, Ger Hayiti Beretz Nachriya, I was a stranger in a foreign land. Problematic pasuk. Pasuk Gimel is very problematic. Gershom had already been named in Parshat Shemot, the same words. Why is it repeated? The exact same words was said when he was born. Moshe called him Gershom because he said, Ger Hayiti Be'eretz Nachriya. V'shem Ho'echad Eliezer, and one's name is Eliezer. Eliezer, by the way, was not named in Parashat Shemot where he was born. He was the one that his mother circumcised, weren't told a thing about Eliezer. Only now we find out that his name is Eliezer. I don't know, what did they call him? What did they call him the whole time? Maybe they called him, I don't know, baby... Huh? Yeah, Vugala, yeah, Matakal, I don't know, Hamudala. A Svardi kid is a Hamudala. He has no name. It's only now that he is given a name. The Shem Ha'echad Eliezer, one is called Eliezer, Ki Elokei Avi Be'ezri, because the God of my father. Moshe said, the God of my father helped me. Vayatzileni Micherav Paro, he saved me from the sword of Paro. There are a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems in these psukim. The most important one, of course, is why Gershom's name, is repeated now. There's another problem. If one son is called Gershom, and the other is called Eliezer, why is Eliezer called Eliezer? In fact, Rashi says Eliezer because when Dathan va'Aviram made public the fact that Moshe had killed a Mitzri, it was Dathan va'Aviram, the Dathan va'Aviram syndrome. Jews who blow the whistle, so to speak, on fellow Jews. Dathan va'Aviram, they made public the fact that Moshe had killed a Mitzri. Therefore, Moshe was sentenced to death. Rashi, I believe, Rashi says, "Kishegilu Dathan va'Aviram al dvar ha-Mitzri," when Dathan and Aviram revealed that which Moshe had done to the Mitzri, "Ubikesh la'harog et Moshe," Paro wanted to save Moshe. Naset savoro ka'amut yoshayish. Moshe's neck became like a pillar of marble. Shayish, yeah, we all know what. Marble, which means the following. Historically, which event preceded which? That Moshe is a stranger in a foreign land. That represents most probably the idea that he had to flee to Midian. But wait a minute, he was saved from the sword of Paro first, and then he fled. And then he sees himself as a stranger in a foreign land. Why didn't he call his first son Eliezer and the second one Gershom? Maybe there's another question we have to ask.
when Moshe calls his first son Gershom, what country is he referring to? Is he referring to Mitzrayim? Then it's correct that he says Gershom, that land in which I grew up and I was part of the royal house. Do you understand? That land has become a foreign and a strange land to me. I was a Gershom there. If he would be referring to Midian, he would have had to call him, and it could have been a very beautiful name, you know, Gerpo. If he's referring to the fact that he had to flee his own and native land, Mitzrayim, where he was born, and he's now in Midian, and he says, listen, I had to flee my birthplace, and now I'm a Ger, I'm a stranger, Po, Gerpo. Listen, we Israelis, we know about this. I never saw the dreidel. The dreidel is different over here. They have out there in Chutz Laaretz, they have a shin on their dreidel, and we have a pei on our dreidel. Nez gadol hayah po. Nez gadol hayah po. Maybe that's proof, of course, that only people who live here should be able to vote here. If the dreidel that you use has a shin on it, then no. If it has a pay, you can vote here. All right, I don't know. In 50 years from now, when somebody will hear this tape, they won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But you know exactly what we're talking about. Should Israelis living outside of the country have a right to vote? Or do you have to vote with your feet like Yitro does? He comes out into the desert. And he's going to make his destiny their destiny. I'm getting a little excited about it. In a minute from now, I will be able to give you all of the good reasons why any Israeli in the world should be able to vote just as Americans can vote any place elsewhere. But that's not what the shiur is about. All right. These names, it may be possible to say the reason why Gershom's name is repeated over here is because Gershom is being named for a second time. And if Eliezer was given his name at any time, Eliezer is being given his name for a second time here. The name that Moshe Rabbeinu originally gave took on added and new significance. When he called Gershom, he was in Midian, and he looks back on Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim as the place that had been his homeland, and now he's a stranger. He's estranged, he's distant, he's far. It's possible that at that moment in time he still sees Midian as is now his adopted homeland. Yeshlo green card in Midian. And not only that, he's married well. He's a member of the household of Yitro. What he's going to learn afterwards is not only was he a ger in Mitzrayim, the Midian experience is not going to be an experience forever. The moment is going to come when he looks at Midian and he was a Gershom too. Isn't that the story of the Jew? Has to leave one country, sets himself up in a new country, and all of a sudden you begin to feel that the new country is this is home, and the other nebuch was gulus, and over here, you know, you send your children to good schools, and they already speak the new language without an accent, and they've made their way until it comes, as Jewish history always is, so you begin to find out that second country is not any more of a homeland than first country was. Moshe, when he was in Midian, and his wife gives birth to his first son. He says, I was a ger there. I became a ger in Mitzrayim. I was a stranger. He's now calling Gershom the same name for a second time. But now, do you know what he's referring to? Even the Midian experience was an experience of gerus. Because he knows that Klal Yisrael is on their way to Eretz Yisrael. That's the only place where they're not going to be gerim. That's the only place they won't be gerim. And Eliezer. If he would have named Eliezer when he was in Midian, so it would have referred to one incident. The fact that he was saved from the sword of Pharaoh. now Eliezer's name takes on new significance. Not only was he saved originally from Paro, take a look at this. For a year, he's been walking in and out of the palace of Paro. He's been saying, let my people go. Shalach et ami. There were so many opportunities for Paro to have killed Moshe during this entire time. So Eliezer now is, Rabbeinu Shalom, you saved me not only back then did you save me from Paro, you have saved me from Paro throughout this entire experience. So in a sense, the name is being repeated and the name is being said because it has taken on, in both cases, much greater significance than it originally had. Vayavo Yitro, let's go further. Vayavo Yitro, Chotei Moshe, Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, came, Ubonov v'ishto el Moshe, and his sons and his wife to Moshe, El Hamidbar, to the desert, Asher Uchoneh Shom Har Elokim, where he is encamped by the mountain of God. Vayomer el Moshe, Vayomer, he said to Moshe, Ani Chotencha Yitro Ba'elecha, I am your father-in-law Yitro, coming to you. Obviously, this does not mean that he is saying it to him face to face. He doesn't have to tell him, I am your father-in-law Yitro. What it means is he sends a messenger ahead who tells Moshe that I, your father-in-law Yitro, is coming to you, v'ishtecha, and your wife, Ushnei Boneha, Ima, and her two sons with her. Sometimes I think it's worthwhile just to raise certain questions so that you can give thought to it. I'm not even going to attempt to answer it today, or I won't get anything I wanted to say said. One has to take note of the fact that sometimes the children are referred to as Bonov, his children, and sometimes they're called Boneha, her children. In Pasuk 6, I, your father-in-law Yisro, is coming with your wife, Ushnei Boneha, her two sons. Right? What did it say in Pasuk? Pasuk Hey, the Pasuk before, by Yavo Yitro Chotei Moshe Ubanav. His sons, not her sons. And then we also have another problem. Sometimes Tzipora is mentioned first and the children second, and sometimes the children first and Tzipora second. In Pasuk Bet, Vayikach Yitro Chotei Moshe et Tzipora, Eishet Moshe Achar Shilucheha, Ve'et Shnei Baneha, Etchnei Baneha. So there it's Tzipora first, and the two children are mentioned afterwards. Incidentally, there I can understand it. The children are young. They're really babies. The only one whom Yitro can talk to and persuade is Tzipora. And then the halacha is going to be whatever will happen to Tzipora. She has the right to know if she's going to convert, that she can convert her children with her. I'm not going to go into the others. Why in Pasuk 5, Yitro Chotei Moshe came, Ubonav, the sons of Moshe, V'ishto El Moshe. I don't know, it could be. I mean, this is coming off the top of my head. But I wouldn't disagree with me so quickly. According to the Medrash, it says that Yitro had guaranteed and promised Moshe, I'm going to make sure that your children are going to be at Har Sinai to hear God. It may very well be, Vayavo Yitro Chotei Moshe Ubanav. He's bringing Moshe's children so they should be present at Mamet Har Sinai. So he's bringing them so that they should be present, because that was his promise. In a sense, the bunim, the children, can be taken. They are still, at this point, they are objects. Not so Tzipora. And here he had made a promise that he was going to bring them. No such promise could be made about Tzipora, because she has she's an intelligent person. She has a mind of her own. They were babies. I said they were babies. They were a year old. They were born right before he left Mitzrayim. One of them underwent circumcision on the way to Mitzrayim. How long has Moshe been in Mitzrayim? 3/4 of a year. A year. We're talking about the children are children.
They're babies. They're babies. Remember, it's also important, as we said, that Tzipora is coming because she wants to come. She's not coming because of any coercion. Alright. Pasuk Zion. Vayetze Moshe leKrat Chosno. Moshe went out toward his father-in-law, Vayishtachu, he bowed down, Vayishaklo, and he kissed him. Vayishalu Ishla Deyeu L'Shalom. And they asked one another how they are. Vayovoa, oh Allah, they came into the tent. Vayisaper Moshe lechotno et kol asher osa Hashem leparo lemitzrayim. Moshe told his father-in-law everything that God had done to Paro in Egypt, al odot Yisrael, about Israel, al odot Yisrael, et kol haklo Hashem etzoratam baderach, all the suffering of the road, by Yatzilem Hashem, and God saved them. What is Moshe telling his father-in-law? Everything that God did. Isn't that why Yitro came? Vayishma Yitro, the first pasuk says Yitro, Kohen Midian, heard everything. He heard everything. So what is Moshe telling him? I believe that this pasuk is a fascinating one, in which two halachot are coming to the fore. One, do you realize that Yitro right now is the only person in a camp of 3 million people who wasn't present when it all happened? Only one. Do you understand that Moshe now has the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim in a way that it wasn't, it will never again in history be fulfilled? Here is a person where all of Israel has been there. There's only one person who wasn't there. Okay. Yitro and Tzipora, okay, and Gershom and Eliezer, even little children. He's holding them on lap. He now has a unique opportunity. He can tell it over to somebody. So what are you going to tell me? Yitro is going to say, I know, I heard it all. Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu zakenim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu yodim es hatorah, mitzvah l'safe b'yitziyas mitzrayim, even if we're all wise, we're all elders, we're all understanding, it's a mitzvah, sipu yitziyas mitzrayim, and the chol hamarbe, hareza meshuba. So whatever, number one, Moshe is vayisafer, he's telling, he's got a captive audience. The only person, you see, for all other generations are going to hear the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim hearsay. This is the one generation, the one moment in all of history where everybody present lived through it, and there's only one person who didn't. Two people who didn't. Four people who didn't. All right. Moshe has the unique opportunity of fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim in a way that it was never fulfilled. Second, there's something missing to what Yitro had heard. Yitro had heard all that God had done for Moshe and Israel, that he had taken the Jewish people out of Egypt. But you know what Yitro didn't know of? The pain, the suffering, the trials, the tribulation. At kol hatila'o asher mitzo'atam. Do you see what it says in this pasuk? He told him kol hatila'o, all the suffering. The halacha by Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim is matchil beginut u'mesayim b'sheva. You can't begin a story at the happy ending. There is absolutely no substance and no meaning and no significance to a story that begins with, and they were saved, and they lived happily ever after. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that way. You have to begin with the suffering, and that Yitro didn't know of. He knew about that they had been saved. Kihotzi. What did the prophet say? Kihotzi Hashem et Yisrael Mitzrayim. God had taken Israel. He's saying, first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu is taking the unique opportunity of taking the one person who has not experienced it, and he's telling him the story. There is no Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim like that. None like it. And in the halacha of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the story, the halacha of the story is that the story has to begin with the pain, the suffering. You can't begin a story at the end. You can't say, and they lived happily ever after. And therefore the halacha says, it's a mishnah, matchil bignut, you begin with the difficult parts of Jewish history, umesayim b'shevach, and you end with the praise. All that Yisroel had heard, as it said in the first pasuk, ki hotzi, that God had taken the Jewish people out of Egypt. But what about all of the pain and the suffering? What does he know about that? So therefore Moshe tells him at kol hatlo asher mitzu'atam. But there is another halacha. There is another halacha that so beautifully comes into play over here. Something that comes into right before our very eyes. Ketzav Mekablin Geri HaTzedek. I'm reading from the Rambam, and I had learned this Rambam with you in the Shir on Parshat Lech Lecha earlier this year in a completely different context. The Rambam says the following: Ketzav Mekablin Geri HaTzedek. How are real righteous converts? How are they accepted into the fold? When a person comes to convert, min hagoyim, from amongst the nations, the yivduku acharav, and Bezdin is going to make an investigation, v'lo yimtzu'u ila, and they're not going to find an ulterior motive. Bezdin's first responsibility is to make certain that there is no ulterior motive. They have to make certain that it's not a man who has fallen in love with a woman, or a woman who has fallen in love with a man, and that's why, or because of money, or because of other reasons. It has to be, the intentions have to be pure. If Bezdin has already investigated v'lo yimtzu ila, and they don't find any ulterior motive, at the last stage, right as they prepare to convert him, Omnin lo, you know what they're supposed to say to him? The Bezdin says to him, Mara ita shevat al hidgaya, why did you see fit to come and convert? Iata yodea, don't you know? She yisrael bizman hazeh, Jews, at this time in history, divuyim, udechufin, umesukhafin, umeturafin, viyisudin boyan alayim. I remember saying then, it's unnecessary to translate precisely every one of the words in the Rambam here. Very difficult, but you get the general idea. Don't you know that Jews are oppressed, they suffer, they're in pain, they are living a life of confusion, and suffering is coming upon them? Why do you want to become a Jew? Im Amar, if a prospective convert says, Ani Yodea, I know, Ve'eni Kedai, and I'm unworthy of being a part of that people, Mikablin Oto Miyad. He is immediately accepted into the fold. What's happening over here is, do you know what Moshe is telling him? You heard all of the great things, but you know what I want you to, you know what? He's telling him at Kol HaPlah, Moshe in Pasuk 8 is telling him all of the suffering. You know what he's telling him? He's telling him, Yisrael, you should know that the Jewish people are a people who suffer. By the way, isn't that what we were expressing in last week's shiur? That Jewish history is going to be the history of chok and mishpat. There will be the irrational and the rational, the incomprehensible and the comprehensible. There are going to be ups and downs throughout all of Jewish history. There are going to be the peaks, and there will be the valleys. Isn't that what Rashi was saying in that first Rashi? Mashmu Ashama Uba. What was it that Yisroel heard and he came to the desert? So Rashi said two things: Milchemet Amalek, Kriyat Yamsuf, and Milchemet Amalek. Do you know what Kriyat Yamsuf and Milchemet Amalek represent? Kriyat Yamsuf represents the peak experience, but take a look at what happens afterwards. Is it all over after Kriyat Yamsuf, or is there still going to be war and suffering? Will there be travail and trial and tribulation? A great deal more. Maybe that's why the Gemara says, what was it that he heard that brought him to come out into the desert and to convert? Kriyas Yamsuf alone would not have been enough. Because you know what Kriyas Yamsuf means? If that's what he hears, he wants to get onto the bandwagon. He wants to join a people that are winners. That kind of a convert is discouraged from joining the Jewish people. It's only after he hears Kriyat Yamsuf, and that even after a Kriyat Yamsuf, Amalek is ready to come out, a sneak attack, and he's still ready to join that people. That's a Kol HaKlo Asher Mitzvatam. The Rambam, there's another Rambam over here that says, Rambam says the following, Lefichach lo kiblu beddin gaidin kol yamei David and Shlomo. Beddin did not accept converts in the days of David and Shlomo. Be made David in the days of David, they didn't accept converts. Shema min hapachad chazaru. Maybe they return. The Rambam always used for the convert, he always used the word lachazor, to return, in a sense returning to roots, the roots of mankind. In the days of David, they did it because of fear. The fear of David was upon the nations of the world. Ubi made Shlomo, and in the days of Shlomo, Shema bishvil hamalchus. In the days of Shlomo, maybe it's because of the royalty, the kingdom, the good, the greatness. It's good to be part of a winning team. Anybody from amongst the nations who returns to the Jewish people, the Shvil Dova may have Leha Olam, because any of the nonsense of this world, Eino Mi Gede Had Tzedek, that's not called a Ger Tzedek. Because remember, if in Jewish history, this is my own interpretation, if in Jewish history things can change, so we're talking about a situation that is by its very nature temporary. The pachad, the fear of Jews in the days of David, is temporary. The greatness, the glory, the majesty of the Jewish people in the days of Shlomo, it's temporary. That's Kriyas Yamsuf. But there's going to be Milchemet Amalek, that history. There's going to be an Amalek that will be stalking our every step throughout all of history. There's going to be suffering. What Moshe has to tell Yitro in order to make certain that Yitro is going to be a Ger Tzedek is, we're not promising you a rose garden. It's not a bowl of cherries. It's not all Kriyas Yamsuf. There's going to be Milchemet Amalek, and there's going to be a lot of suffering. And more than that, what he's telling him is the Tlo'ah, the terrible times that we went through, not something that is over and ended. Those terrible times, wait a minute. Wait till we have to go into an Eretz Yisrael and conquer it from the seven nations that are there. Does Moshe know that we will be trying to conquer it and conquer it for 3,500 years and still not have conquered it all, and maybe even reach a point in history where we're going to have to give up parts of Eretz Yisrael? I don't know, probably Moshe Rabbeinu would have torn Kriya. I'm sure he must have torn Kriya. By the way, he did tear Kriya when the Meraglim, when the Meraglim came back and gave their bad reports, it says that Moshe and Aaron cut away as big day, and they tore their guns. They tore for you. So I'm saying that this Pasuk 8 is an amazing Pasuk. In this Pasuk, I hear two major aspects of Torah. One is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the other is the mitzvah of accepting converts into Judaism. To accept converts, you have to tell them it's Kol HaKlo. You have to tell them that Jews suffer. And then Vayichad Yisro, Pasuk 9 says, Vayichad Yisro, what an unusual word. Vayichad Yitro al Kol HaTova. Rashi says two pshatim in the word Vayichad. One is, pshuto means that he was happy. Vayichad coming from the word Chedva. Gila, Rina, Dicha, Vechedva. He was happy. Vayichad Yitro, Kol HaTova. Asher Asa Hashem Yisrael, he was very happy. But then he says the second shot. The second shot that Rashi says is, Nasa, Umedrash HaKadim, Nasa Besorei Chidudin Chadudin. His flesh, felt like acupuncture. They were sticking, there were knives sticking into him. He felt like knives were sticking into him. Meitar al Ibud Mitzrayim, he was troubled, he was suffering because of the destruction of Egypt. Well, he's happy on the one hand because Jews have been saved. But on the other hand, listen, look at all the people who lost their lives. Hainu Da'amri Inshi Rashi says, this is what people say, Giyora Abasara Dori Lo Tavazi Armoy Bape, a ger until 10 generations, don't embarrass a guy in his presence. The presence of a ger, you can't talk about the dirty guy. You can't do that. Because the fact is that it's going to hurt. It's going to cause pain. One cannot completely divorce oneself from a whole life and an environment and a society. Can't do it. Can't do it. In a sense, there's something very balanced about Yitro. In other words, I see this in a positive light. No, you want to look at it in a negative light. Yitro is getting so upset about the fact that the Mitzrayim were killed. Oh, a bunch of Reitzchem. What are you getting so upset about? Is Yitro, am I going to accuse him of being some left-wing liberal extremist who cries more for the Arab dead than for the Jewish dead? No, I'm not going to say that about Yitro. Not at all. In a sense, I'm getting into it. In a sense, what Yisro is, like the Malachim, like the angels. What do I mean, Yisro is like the angels? Gemara says that when the angels of heaven saw the Egyptians being drowned in the Yamsuf, they wanted to say Shira, they wanted to sing. So God silences them. And he tells them, Masi Yadai Tovim Bayam, my handiwork, my human beings are drowning in the sea, Va'atem Omnim Shiva, and you're going to go sing about it? But wait a minute, Israel does sing. Os Yoshe Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Asashirazos, Israel does sing. You know why Israel may sing and the angels not? Because Israel's life was in danger. We were saved. They wanted to destroy us. They have a right. They have a right. The angels who are not in danger don't have a right. They have to look at it, yes, we're happy that Jews were saved, but we are pained that people had to lose their lives. Yes, people's evil destroyed them. So beautiful. Therefore, by the way, maybe not by the way, that's one of the reasons why On Sukkot, we say complete Hallel, all of Sukkot. On Pesach, we say all of Hallel only the first day, and the rest of the 7 days of Pesach, the next 6 days, we say part Hallel. Why do we say part Hallel? Because what's going to be the next great experience afterwards is going to be Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't all happy. Because the fact is that people had to lose their lives. I'm saying that Yisro's response is a balanced one. Vayichad Yitro. So there are two things in this Vayichad. On the one hand, he is happy, and on the other hand, the Vayichad, and I imagine why Rashi is saying this is because Vayichad is a strange word to use in order to express happiness. It could have said Vayismach Yitro. Vayichad. According to the Gemara, there is even a third meaning in the word Vayichad. The third meaning of the word of Vayichad is Hevir Cherev Chada al Besaro. He took a sharp knife upon his flesh. He converted. He went through the process of Gelus, which would of course fit in with what we're saying. If Pasuk 8, as I explain it, is the final process before Bedin accepts the convert, by telling the convert you should know that Jews suffer in history. Vayichad Yitro means Yitro has made his decision, he's going to become part of the Jewish people, and therefore he undergoes the process of conversion, which is represented, of course, by Mila. And this was necessary for Yitro also from the other halacha, the halacha that we learned that said that in the days of David and Shlomo, they didn't accept Gaden, because it's possible that they came because of the fear that had descended upon them because of David, or because of the greatness of Shlomo. The fact is, if the Kriyas Yamsuf, both of these aspects, the dimensions of David and the dimensions of Shlomo, both were true. The dimension of David, what do we say at the end of the Shira? What does it say, the end of the Shira? Shamu Amim Yirgazon. The nations heard and they trembled. Chil Achaz Yoshe Plashet. Shaking overcame those who live in Plashet. Oznif Halu Elufe Edom. The officers of Edom became confused. Ele Moav, the mighty ones of Moav, Yochazemo Rad, were overtaken with shaking. Nomogu Koyoshe Knan. All the inhabitants of Knan melted away. And then we added to that, people Aleya and Emazav Avakat, the Bereshim bring upon them fear and trembling, Vigdoz Racha, which means there was the Pachad, fear of the Jewish people, as in the days of David. Was there also the greatness, Hashem Yimloch La'olam Va'ed, as in the days of Shlomo, which means therefore that for Yitro to be accepted as a convert, he's going to have to know not only of the Pachad and the greatness, not only does he have to know about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but he has to know that he's becoming part of a people that's going to suffer throughout all of history until the end. Otherwise, the conversion of Yisro would not be accepted. There is another fascinating question that is asked. Very fascinating question that is asked. First pasuk. Back to the first pasuk. Yishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotei Moshe. Yitro Kohen Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard all that Elohim had done for Moshe and for his people Yisrael. How do we know that he did it for them? How does Yitro know that God did it for Moshe and for Israel? How does he know? What's the other possibility? Isn't there another possibility? This is another possibility. The other possibility is that the Mitzrayim received their due because they're evil. And what happens if evil people do evil to a mediocre people? In other words, the question that can be asked is, all that God has done, all the miracles that he has wrought, is it because Israel is a great people, or is it because the Egyptians are downright evil? Is God punishing the wicked, or is he saving the saintly, or is he doing both? And here, I'm going to be very, very careful to quote who it is that says this, because the last time I quoted this sefer, which I think was about the first time that I ever mentioned the sefer, is it was when somebody in the back said, yes, that was my grandfather. You remember that from a few weeks ago? I think it was Parshat Vayechi. I had quoted the Drash V'Ha'iyun that was written by the Reish Rav, the Baal Levine, and Nat Lewin was sitting in the back over there, unbeknownst to me. And I've been thanking the Lord, I've been mentioning Dremel ever since that I quoted, you know, if I would have, God forbid, tried to pass it off as one of my own, that would have been very bad, very bad. So I don't do that. I never did it, and I don't do it anymore. Was that a contradiction? You know what I mean. You know what I mean. So he says the following. He says, the Reish Rav says that Yitro is clearly making a statement in that pasuk. First pasuk, Vayishma Yitro, Yitro heard all that God had done for Moshe and his people Israel. How does he know? How does he know that it's because of Moshe and Israel? Maybe it's because the Egyptians are wicked. Maybe it's supposed to be a wicked. How does he know it? So he says something very beautiful. I'll just give you one part of it. Before the Shira, in last week's Sedrit, says, "Vayosha Hashem et Yisrael mi'ad Mitzrayim." God saved Israel from the hands of Mitzrayim. "Vayar Yisrael et Hayad Hagedola." Did I skip a pasuk there? "Vayosha Hashem b'yomer hu et Yisrael mi'ad Mitzrayim." God saved the Jewish people from the hands of Egypt. Yet, "Vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim met al spat hayam." Israel saw Egypt dead by the spat hayam, by the sea. So he says, he makes reference to a Rashi earlier in Bereishis, where the Rashi says the following: when the Malachim take Lot and his family out of Sodom, just as Sodom is about to be destroyed, it says the Malach, the angel said, "Himolet al nafshecha, flee for your life. Al tabit acharecha, don't look back." Don't look back. We know, of course, what happened to the wife of Lot because she looked back. Says Rashi, why shouldn't you look back? The Malach said, "Atahir shato imahem, you are evil with them. Ubizchus Avraham atanitzel, you're being saved in the merit of Avraham. Eincha kedai lirod bepuranotam, you don't have the right to see them suffering, the atanitzel, and you're saved." What's Rashi say? The reason why Lot and his family don't have any right to look back is because they're an exception. They're being saved though they were evil. You don't have the right to watch as people whom you are as evil as are being destroyed. What happens if you can look? Then you know what it means if you can look? It means that you're a tzaddik and not a rasha. "Vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim met al svat hayam." Yisrael saw the dead Egyptians on the beach. If they saw the dead Egyptians, you know what it means is that Klal Yisrael, it were worthy of it in their own right. It's not merely because of the evil of Mitzrayim. It's because of the greatness of the Jewish people. "Vayish ma Yisrael koin midyan, Yisrael koin midyan." Heard? All that God had done for Moshe and Yisrael and Moshe, how does he know that it's for Yisrael and Moshe? Because they were able to look, they were able to see. One final idea. That first Rashi said, what was it that he heard and that brought him out into the desert? He heard Milchemet Amalek, Kriyat Yamsuf, and Milchemet Amalek. So we had asked the question a number of times, listen, he heard everything. What's so unique about these two? So somebody who said, I really don't remember. I don't remember who said it. Why doesn't Yisro come after Kriyas Yamsuf? That's not great enough of an event to come out into the desert to join the Jewish people. What's added when he sees Milchemet Amalek, the war of Amalek? What has been added to his knowledge now? He should have come running out into the desert right after Kriyat Yamsuf. So, heard somebody who said, the difference between Yamsuf and Amalek was, by Yamsuf, the Jewish people were passive and God was active. By Milchemet Amalek, it is the Jewish people who take up arms in order to fight off an attacking enemy. Yitro understood, no people can live on miracles alone. They have to be ready to take their destiny into their own hands, and be'ezrat Hashem, they will succeed. When he saw Kriyat Yamsuf, he was not yet convinced that this is a people that he can join, or that this people has a future. A people who stand on the beach, helpless, forlorn and lost, and have to wait for divine intervention, is not a people that will survive very long. But when at the end of Parashat B'Shalach he hears of Milchemet Amalek, that Jews take up arms against an enemy, then he knows that this people is going to survive. Mashmua Shama, Rashi says, what was it that he heard? Uba! And because of that he came out into the desert to join them. Milchemet Kriyat Yamsuf and Milchemet Amalek. Milchemet Amalek was an absolute necessary part of this whole. Without Milchamet Amalek, they would not have demonstrated that they're ready to take their own destiny into their hands. Okay.